The McElroy brothers are not experts, and their advice should never be followed. Travis insists he's a sexpert, but if there's a degree on his wall, I haven't seen it. Also, this show isn't for kids, which I mention only so the babies out there will know how cool they are for listening. What's up, you cool baby?
It's familiar, but not too familiar, but not too not familiar. It's a new craze. Hey, good girls, do you wanna just say, hey, I wanna? Just say, hey, I wanna.
Hey, everybody, welcome to my brother and me, an advice show for the modern era. I am your oldest brother, Justin McElroy.
I'm your middleest brother, Travis McElroy.
I'm your sweet baby brother, Griffin McElroy.
And Babykins? That's my new thing. Well, everybody. Blart watches.
Oh, okay.
Blart watches back. I'm on Blart watch.
Blarty in the USA.
Did we have a maiden voyage for the SS Blart watch?
I'm pretty sure we Blart watched before. This is Blart watch 2. The game has done changed. Second weekend, Paul Blart Mall Cop. It was in a rough fight for second place with Furious 7. It's in the $13 to $14 million range. That's how Blart is right now. It's going to clear the $40 million mark in its domestic total by the end of the weekend. So it's going to be a big picture, a big win for.
And that's on a budget of how much?
$8. Kevin James, the whole team.
What?
Yeah, stands to gain a lot of money.
Everybody volunteered for that except for Kevin James, and his only stipulation on his rider is that when they were done filming all of his scenes in the movie, they were going to go to Yogurtland, and he was going to get a cup of frozen yogurt. Ended up costing $8 because it was a considerable amount of yogurt.
When I saw the billboard for Paul Blart Mall Cop 2, and it said, always bet on Blart, and I laughed legitimately. A hearty belly laugh, and automatically $15 was deducted from my bank account.
He got your money one way or the other.
Yeah, and they were like, that laugh ain't free.
Now, just to check in, you know, Blart's not just about money. It's also a work of art. And I think
a work of Blart.
Thank you. I left the door wide open for that one. So just do want to check in real quick on what are the critics saying about Paul Blart. Just let's see. Andy Webster says you won't find much offensive in Rick James's slick, innocuous song, Paul Blart Mall Cop 2. It doesn't believe in the worthiness of its hero. Why should we? From Kimberly Jones. Kimberly Jones apparently wanting a little more action,
a little bit of pathos.
Pathos
sounds like
for Paul Blart.
Very deep, the hero's journey.
This is Ivan Morales from Cine Premier says the only thing that stands out about this film is how hard it tries to be an average comedy. Now that review is in Spanish, so in case you're curious how Blart is playing with the Spanish speaking audiences, the answer is not well.
Its biggest problem is that it tries really hard to be an average comedy. It was a super above average comedy. It's like, we got to tone this down.
Lost in translation here. Mike McHale from The Observer of the UK probably has the best review. He says, this isn't much more than a fly's fart of a film. The most microscopically tiny of afterthoughts.
So it kind of sounds to me like all these reviewers are biased.
Yeah.
And they're probably either being paid off, or they're just, you know, they just have sort of a preternatural bias for Big Sandler.
But what if he means, when he says it's a fly's fart of a film, he means really funny to think about?
Yeah, that's
like,
a good
very
point.
Very humorous to know it exists.
Yeah.
Now, just so we're clear, full disclosure, we do have a positive review here from Simon Weaving. He says, no more than excuse for James to play out his affable brand of humor, mixing physical slapstick with verbose running commentary of both grandiose and self-deprecating observations on life and
words
himself.
Words too big for Blart,
Achy,
those words
machi.
Are.
All the reviews should just be like, at least Native Americans didn't walk off the set of this one. Paul Blart,
yeah.
Too.
They're ahead of the curve.
Now, a lot of people are not critics. You know, a lot of people are just common folks, like user Billy Barnett at Rotten Tomatoes, who says, I just saw this last night, and it's better than the first one. These critics are insane. Don't trust them. the very first response is, having the runs is better than having full-on diarrhea, too. I'm not sure what that means.
Wait, hold on. Not,
I thought those were synonymous. Have I been wrong about diarrhea my whole life?
I thought they were. They're apparently different.
But I don't get. Is he saying that like it's still bad? It's just not as bad as the first one? Because then the point still holds up. It's still better than the first one.
It's one submitted quote from the film submitted by Lucas B 5 days ago, and it is this: "It's a Paul Blart line. Match.
Where did all my ham go?"
I stole my hams. I left it right here.
I had three hams, and now I only have one ham.
You're going to UCLA.
Wow. Okay. Is that to himself in a mirror?
That's the iconic.
Nothing sums up the plot of Paul Blart Mall Cop 2 better than the line, "You're going to UCLA."
You're going to UCLA. 4% of critics liked it. 49% of audiences liked it.
See, that's my real America. Let's get into some advice.
Yeah, this is an advice show for the modern era where we don't just monitor the comings and goings of Paul Blart, but we will be bringing you those throughout the show. And throughout the show, by that I mean not just this episode, but for the entirety of our show, we'll continue to follow the actions of Paul Blart. But we also give advice to people, so let's do that.
I can't wait till the third Paul Blart where he fakes his own death. At the end, Alfred just sees him sitting at a Venetian cafe. You know, and they make eye contact, and then he farts really loud.
And he farts on a fly. He farts, and a fly comes out of his butt, and then that fly farts too. And then it zooms in on his face, and the fly looks right in the camera, and it's a vignette effect, and it zooms in right on the fly's face, and he goes, "You're going to UCLA." Cut to black.
They opened that on your birthday, Griffin.
Best birthday ever, yeah. Let's get into the advice.
How was it? I'm assuming you went.
It was pretty good. I wish the theater wasn't full of people jerking off.
That was a weird touch. Okay, now I will get to the advice. No more blood. How early is too early to start yard work? I live in a neighborhood of garden homes that are fairly close to one another. I don't have a large yard. Still requires regular maintenance. But because it isn't a project that takes more than an hour or two at most, I prefer to get in early so I don't spend a whole day doing it. Sometimes I do this on Saturday, but I usually have at least one free day during the week. This is starting to turn into like an SAT puzzle question. Okay. So
because he referenced 2 days of the week?
2 days of the week? I don't know when those are. So my question is this. How early can I start while being courteous to my neighbors? And that's from Terry.
Well, you got to go door to door, knock on everybody's door, and make sure they're not about to start recording a podcast. That is a service that my neighbors do not provide to me.
The good news is that there's never a time that people are happy to hear people doing yard work outside their house. I've never once heard someone mowing a lawn or using a leaf blower and thought, oh, good, awesome.
Unless your neighbor's dirty, dirty, tall grass, hairy, and you get sight. That he's dealing with a fucking crazy.
You're just psyched to find out what's in there. Maybe there's an old tricycle.
Hey, if you see
one of those
wallet,
like a turtle sandbox things.
You guys speak for yourself. Every time I hear one of my neighbors revving up their engines, I get out there with a big thumbs up and I say, "You go get them."
Mm-hmm. You're doing it next door, Paul.
I knock on their door afterwards. And they're all sweaty from mowing, and I say, "Hey, I just wanted you to know because not a lot of people are going to stop and say it. This looks great."
You did a good job.
And then they look in their hand, and I've somehow slipped a glass of ice cold iced tea into their hand. They don't know how I did it, but that's what being a neighbor is all about.
But there's no, but you didn't give them a cup. You've just poured a glass's worth of iced tea onto.
It's actually
hand.
Frozen, and I say, "Act fast," then I walk away.
That's good.
That's what they're
give
doing.
Give them a chore.
Yeah.
I think that. 9 a.m.?
Yeah, wake the fuck up. What are you doing? Sleeping past 9. What are you doing?
Teresa and I are up like every day at 7:30. And I told someone this the other day, and they were like, you know, a 28-year-old adult person by all intents and purposes. And they said, I never get up before 11.
What? Like, what the fuck? What? You're missing so much shit. Nobody, I don't care how fucking old you are or how late night you had the previous evening. Nobody has any excuse to sleep past the end of the McDonald's breakfast menu. If you have slept and then if you wake up and McDonald's is serving lunch, you fucked up somewhere.
What if, like, your baby was up all night, like, crying, and you just got her to sleep, and, like, you just want to sleep in a little bit? Like, is that not permissible where you come
from? A little bit is fine. I'm talking not past 9 o'clock.
Like, that's crazy, though. That doesn't make sense.
You have so much life to live.
Yeah.
There's, like, so much to do.
I want
to
have the energy to do it all day. Now, I'm not speaking for myself, but I'm the one who gets yelled at when our neighbors are mowing at 9 a.m. My wife wants to sleep in a little bit.
I guess we're getting into a much broader question here, and that is of, let's say, 16 hours of the day. You got to be up for 16, right? And then you get your solid 8, and then you're down, and then you get your next 16. What are the 16 best hours of the day to be conscious? The golden 16. Because I think it's hold on, let me math this out real quick. I want to say it's like 7 to 11.
Oh, see, I was going to say 8 to 12.
8 to 12 is fine, too. That's close enough. But I go with 7 to 11, and I feel like I never miss anything.
Hey, here's the real thing, and I guarantee there are some of you listening scientists, inventors, engineers. Why haven't we invented a quiet lawnmower yet? Like, everybody hates the sound of the lawnmower. Make a quiet lawnmower.
I'll step in here, Travis. They were for a really long time. There's already one invented. It's called the manual lawnmower. Remember? Uh-huh. Remember?
Okay. And why aren't we using that anymore, Justin?
Because it sucks, Travis.
It sucks. It's really, really wicked hard.
Well, then let's make a quiet one that we just pull a switch. Or maybe something that does itself. We've got robots.
One that does itself? You mean a goat? Are you speaking about a goat? Because we invented those a very long time ago. We took a deer, we took a sheep, we said, y'all two fuck. And then you did. And a goat came out. Y'all want a Yahoo?
Yeah. I would like more of this goat story, but sure.
That's all there is to say. Deer, fuck that sheep. And he said, all right. I'm going to enjoy it too. Maybe it's an antelope. Which came from, never mind. This one, Yahoo Answer, was sent in by Rachel Sperling. Recognize that game. Take a moment, recognize it, respect it, appreciate it. You don't know
and
what you got until
it's gone.
Put it away
for later generations.
Put it away. Don't use it all up. Thank you, Rachel. It's by Yahoo Answers user Jess, who asks, he's lying to me about boats. This is in the singles and dating category.
Okay.
Jess asks, so my boyfriend for the last few weeks has been talking about buying a boat. He will tell me about all these boats for sale and their prices and location. Says he is going to go look at them, but always after that says nothing more. He is only looking at them on this one site. Last night he was telling me about some boat for sale. I wanted to see it, so I searched for it on the site and it didn't exist. I then looked for all the boats he had told me about. Not there. My boyfriend does sometimes lie, but I don't know why he would lie about this. It's so weird. But I have noticed he will use these boats as an excuse when I'm supposed to see him. Like, I'll say, I'm coming over. And he'll say, he's driving to go look at a boat.
Oh, I wish you had called 10 minutes ago.
Just I know it's appointment to go see a boat.
I know I was supposed to make dinner tonight. I know I promised, but I totally spaced and made a boat appointment.
Is it possible he's saying butt?
What?
Like he's searching a website for butt, so he's got to go see a butt.
To buy and then telling her telling his girlfriend about him in, like, detail?
Does it make any more sense that he's talking about boats?
Honey, I would love to come to your sister-in-law's birthday party, but I saw a butt on the internet. I've got to get a closer look at it.
I made an appointment to go buy it.
I'm thinking about investing. It's a great market. Values are only going to go up. Think about the fun we could have with that butt. It's not just for me. This is for you and me. This is for both of us.
You always
spend time on the butt.
Remember when you used to tell me that the happiest times you could remember were at your grandma and grandpa's lake, out on their pontoon butt, just zipping around. Remember, I'm trying to recreate that for you.
This is wonderful. This is the perfect crime for getting out of things that this person clearly doesn't want to do. There's no way he's going to get caught. One thing I am curious about is this line. I wanted to see it, so I searched for it on the site, and it didn't exist. Then I looked for all the boats he had told me about, not there. What are those? I work on the web, so I'm very interested in web technology, search engine analytics. I'm really curious about the heuristics she would use to search for these boats to prove they don't exist.
She just searched boats my boyfriend talked about and hit enter, and nothing came up.
There was a blue one, and it had a propeller, and he said we could have cool times out on the river.
Search boat, river, propeller.
Gotta put in quotes, cool times on the river. No boats available. This is so bizarre.
Maybe I need to put plus signs between it.
What
if he is just inventing makes and models of boats to cover his tracks?
I'm gonna go check out a Floatmaster 6000.
Yeah, it's actually the Fish Getter X. It's a new model. And I got a really good price. How much? $80,000?
Can't you just picture her clicking through the site trying to find them, and one by one as she enters search terms and nothing comes up, it zooming in on her face is realization dawns and all, and she can see a Kaiser Soze moment.
There's no such thing as a Toyota Big Raft. I feel like such a fool.
And she looks behind her on the bulletin board. There's a Toyota flyer. And over here, there's a picture of Tom Sawyer on a raft. And she starts putting it all together.
Wait a minute. And Mr. Big from Sex and the City. Hold on. Hold the phone. Hold the phone. There's no boat.
There's no such thing as boats.
Maybe we've all been. I've definitely been out on boats before, Travis. I have to stop you right there.
Oh, my God.
No, it was a dream.
I got a question for you guys. I just passed the bar exam, but one of my best friends from law school didn't. I know from law school that she's smart and a hard worker, but this is the second time that she's failed the exam. Is there a way to talk to her or hang out with her in such that my whole situation doesn't just rub in that she's having problems with this test? What's the best way to be a supportive friend here? That's from Credentialed in the Carolinas.
It's just a very hard test. I mean, anybody can fail that. I could fail that.
Franklin and Bash passed it.
Who? Well,
think about it. Both Franklin and Bash.
I don't know who you're talking about.
You know, from the hit TNT series Franklin and Bash, starring Mark Paul Gosselaar and another guy.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Wait. I've almost got it. Nope.
Brecken.
Brecken
Meyer.
That is the boat of TV shows. I think that if you're looking for a way to support your friend who didn't pass the test you just passed, might I suggest imparting some of the wisdom and knowledge that you used to pass the test you passed to help her pass this test that she wants to pass?
Are we looking a montage scenario where it's we're going to do this together, and it sits you cuts to sessions of you sitting in what's probably an old looking library, because that's where law stuff is.
Yeah,
and you're pounding your fist, and she's kind of going, I don't get it.
You take but off then, your jacket, and you spin the table, and you sit, you cross-saddle it, and then you just look at her, and you say, so, habeas corpus, and then it's another shot. They moved on.
And then there's one where you're...
And then pretty soon, she just nods, and you see her scribble down, law! Exclamation point in her book. I get it!
And then Sean Connery from Finding Forrester shows up, and he's like, you're the new man now, dog. You're taking her old place. I think he's an important part of any montage.
Mm-hmm.
And he doesn't
you're a lawyer now, dog.
And his last film was an animated movie called Food Fight. I don't think he wants that to be his swan song, so he'd probably get back out for it.
It's really uncomfortable when there's a bikini car wash super sexy teen montage, and then all of a sudden Sean Connery is there, and he's like,
nice.
Look at it. I can both shake it and stir it. Watch it spin.
I mean my boat.
Look at my boat.
I possess jam, because jelly doesn't shake like this, I think.
Science has proven that jelly doesn't shake like that.
Do you like how my boat fills out these jean cutoff shorts?
What are we saying?
His boat.
Is the bar exam something you can only take a certain amount of times? And if you fail a third time, you're done?
I think it costs $25,000 to take, so I'm sure there's somebody who's another stab at it, huh? Yeah, bring it on.
Because at a certain point, if you fail it, and I'm not saying that she should give up or anything, or anyone should give up, but how many times do you fail something like that before you're you know what, maybe, this isn't my scene.
Well, what are you supposed to do? You've already gone to law school, Travis. You're a lawyer now. Maybe go to where whoever failed her and just be I object. and then quoted them some laws that they didn't know about that makes your friend pass the test. If we can get that guy approved officially Santa Claus in Miracle on 34th Street, I think we can swing this.
Yeah, probably.
Oh, yeah, just hand the judge a dollar, but on it you've written, please make my friend pass the bar exam. And he's like, well, it's right there in black and white on the dollar. I'll allow it.
And then
everybody cheers.
Isn't it funny how if you give a judge $1 bill, it's moving, and if you give him $25,000 bills, it's a federal crime? Yeah. I don't understand the logistics.
I'm going to hit you with this suggestion. It's one I haven't given in a while. But why don't you tell her to pack her bags and move away and go to a state where the bar exam is super duper easy? I'm saying maybe a Florida, probably a little bit easier to pass it down there. I'm saying maybe definitely a Missouri. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's an easy
maybe
bar.
Maybe a Montana. I think there's only 20 people there.
Yeah, Montana, there's like one law, and it's don't kill. And so that was
that's
pretty
the law
easy.
Of the land.
It's pretty easy to enforce it in Montana. Just get up there, write don't kill on a sheet of paper, hand it to the nearest judge, boom, bang, bang, you're a lawyer. Do you know why they call it the bar exam?
Beat the last state lawyer in a fist fight.
Uh-huh. You know why they call it a bar exam is because there's a bar you have to clear, and that bar is going to be at a different height from state to state. If you're in New York, fuck that. They got billions of laws up there. Montana, one law, no killing. You guys want a Yahoo?
Yeah. Yes, please.
This Yahoo was sent in by Level 900, Yadrew Answers... Drew Davenport. Stumbled through that one. My apologies, Drew Davenport. It's by Yahoo Answers user Ronky, who asks. Sorry, that's a great name. Ronky. Ronky asks, how do I make myself have a sex dream? I love having sex dreams.
No.
I think they are better than the real thing. But they happen so rarely. I want to have a sex dream every night. How do I force myself to do this?
You know, but if you have a sex dream every night, you'll start to really look forward to the dreams where, like, your teeth just fall out.
After your teeth fall out, do you do some weird oral stuff?
Yeah. I hope that's in the question and not coming from my baby brother's mouth.
Wait a minute.
Yeah, sorry, that came from the internet.
Couldn't every weird dream just be a prelude to... Okay. Here's what I'm saying. You know all the classic dreams, right? Maybe they are just, if we let them play out, maybe they're preludes to sex dreams. Okay, so all your teeth fell out, amazing oral action. You've got the dream where you're naked on stage at your school auditorium.
Well, that's obvious.
I see an orgy coming. You know,
no, you got it the first time.
Yeah, was it the first time?
I see a Ronky coming.
See, the black suit's coming. Men in black.
What about being chased through an abandoned amusement park? That's mine. It happens, I don't know, 3 times a week.
Yeah, and then you stop at a roller coaster, and the thing is chasing you is gone, and then you fuck that roller coaster.
Okay.
Go for it.
What about
or you fuck Yeah, no. You fuck a cotton candy machine, and there it is. We've all thought about it, and it's deep.
What if I fuck the cotton candy machine, and the roller coaster gets jealous?
That's a good point.
Well, you know, the dream where you're flying, good mm-hmm. news, somebody's about to be touched by an angel in the way, a sexual way.
In the bathing suit area.
Been a while since I've seen that show. I do not think that there's a lot of, like, flying, and there's very little lovemaking, if memory serves. I don't think Della Reese is, like, like airborne, just, like, wailing
just
on a guy.
Just cruising around looking for...
Looking for cloud peen. Looking for sky boats.
Look at the boat on that one down on the ground, honey child. I'm going to go down there and swoop it.
I'm going to swoop that boat. Swoop
my
that
my
boat.
Husband was just abducted. Was just sexually abducted by Della Reese.
Again.
God damn it.
When will the cops do something about this?
What are you going to do? Bust an angel? You can't. Busted by an angel. How do you make yourself have a sex dream, though? Just stay asleep longer, Justin, is what you're suggesting, right? When you feel yourself waking up,
yes, exactly.
Edge it.
You hang in there longer, and then the sex will start. You just gotta wait. You gotta wait for it.
Can you also not just, like, do a little, what's the thing where you're doing, like, conscious, like, dream it, where you're, like, in control of it, and you can be like, oh, I see where this is going, and then you just, like, kind of self-edit and jump forward 20 minutes in the dream to when the sex is going on.
You're talking about time traveling inside your own dreamosphere to get to the good part. You're talking about a fucking like Mr. Skin dream edit is what you're suggesting.
Yeah.
This is boring exposition. I want to see some dicks. I want to see some butts. And I want to see all of it.
I want to see some boats.
I want to see some docks and some boats.
You know what I mean. I think you do. I love skipping the good parts, and that's why I want to go straight to the money zone. Want to tell you folks about Pro Flowers. They are a service that is going to take care of you for Mother's Day. I actually got a beautiful package of Pro Flowers flowers in the mail. They were looking good. Lovely vase. Really nice. A translucent pink and some beautiful flowers and a box of candies. These are good deals. Okay. You're going to be able to get 100 blooms with a free glass vase for just $19.99. You can make the day extra special by upgrading to a premium vase and chocolates for just $9.99 more. You got to go to proflowers.com and you're going to use the code MYBROTHER. Okay. So,
yeah. Teresa and I did this for her mom last year for last Mother's Day. We used Pro Flowers and sent her the 100 blooms and the chocolates, and she really loved them. They lasted a long time. Like these flowers stay fresh. They cut them real fresh and they put them out before they've bloomed. So they're still like fresh for 2 or 3 weeks after that.
That's incredible. 100 is a lot of flowers. They're going to see how many flowers they're getting, and they're going to fucking barf.
If you want to put some in your teeth and tango around like in the movies,
you can do it 100 times.
Do it 100 times. You can do it 20 times before you'd even fucking notice.
You're going to get sick of tangoing. That's the Pro Flowers guarantee.
Go to proflowers.com, look for the blue microphone, click on that. It's in the top right corner of their website, and type in "my brother." Go now. Take care of this right now.
I also want to thank Nature Box for supporting the show this week. Nature Box's snacks are all made with zero artificial flavors, colors, or sweeteners, 0 grams trans fats, and no high fructose corn syrup. Get out of here, fructose. I don't even know what you are, but you sound like science. I don't trust science. If you grab, you can go to Nature Box and you can grab sriracha roasted cashews, white truffle popcorn, and peanut butter nom noms, or maybe some Big Island pineapple, or some barbecue kettle kernels, or some Greek blueberry Greek yogurt pretzels. I've got these snacks stuck in my head like a beautiful song.
I really like the lemon tea biscuits. They're real buttery. I love them.
The Asiago cheese crisps are the greatest snack I've ever had in my entire life, and that is no smoke up your butts or your boats.
And if you want some smoked snacks, I'm sure they got those too. Just go to naturebox.com.
Check out their selection of vape juices.
Wait, no. Go to naturebox.com/mybrother, and you can get a free trial box of their favorite snacks, and then you can pick up some of your own. I cannot tell you how many listeners have picked up NatureBox, gotten on board, and have absolutely adored it. So go to naturebox.com/mybrother right now and get a free trial of your favorite snacks.
I got a message for Sarah, and it's from Jesse, who says, Sarah!
Sarah!
Hey, Sarah! Happy birthday! You are the love of my life. You make every day better than the last. Your beauty rivals even the most glorious stallion. But let's be real, no one is winning that contest. I hope you had a wonderful day. You're my favorite person, and I can't wait to spend the rest of my life with you. Love, Jesse. That's the sweetest.
Also, I sit 3 seats behind you in math class. We've never spoken, but
you are the virginal canvas on which I shall paint my masterpiece.
Oh, God.
One day our souls shall join together forever and eternity.
Got a message from Mark here from Nina.
Happy birthday, Sarah. That was horrifying. And you sound like a really great person, but not as great as a horse, which Jesse will be the first person to admit.
Got a message from Mark from Nina. Says, happy birthday, buddy. And then she said, I'm sorry that Justin misread this. And it should say, happy anniversary, buddy. Sorry that he's such a dullard.
What did you say?
I said birthday. Living with you has been amazing, even if we still can't wake up in the morning. So there you go.
What?
Some people don't like to get up in the mornings, Travis.
Are they trapped under some kind of, like, spell?
A bookcase fell on them in the sleeping times.
They could send one email, and this is the one. Thank you for supporting me through my dumb PhD studies. I couldn't have gotten this far without you. I'm incredibly excited to eat delicious food, travel the world, and be disgustingly happy with you. Justin, something in the taco voice. I'm not aware of a taco. That's a different brand in our cross media empire.
The McElroy multiverse.
Give him a piece of it. It'll be cross promotion.
Cross promotion. Okay. I hope you had a fantastic anniversary, darling.
That sounded kind of weird.
Yeah, well, it's hard to get into if I'm not in character.
I feel
it takes 15 minutes just to get there. Edit that out.
Oh, hey there, everybody. I'm Guy Branum, and welcome to Pop Rocket, a new weekly show picking over the pop culture we all love to love. With me to talk TV, film, music, and anything else entertaining are journalist Margaret Wobbler, academic, writer, and DJ Oliver Wang, digital strategist Winner Mitchell, and comedian Santina Muha.
It's an intellectual and incredibly snark-filled discussion about pop culture by five cranky Hollywood 30-somethings. No name-calling, no rudeness, just straight talk and a lot of role-play.
I'm only 30-something for another year.
Me too. And I don't tell anybody I'm 30-something.
Pop Rocket comes out every week from MaximumFun.org.
I work at Arby's.
Oh, shit.
Arby's has...
I'm not laughing at you. I'm laughing because now I'm uncomfortable.
Arby's is
Griffin's only natural defense.
Arby's is the official fast food partner of my brother and me. As everybody knows, we've been working together to create great jokes for many years.
At Arby's expense.
Well, it's more of a... I think of it as a collaboration. Arby's keeps me at Arby's, and we do Arby's material. I think Arby's is great. And I really like the Big Montana.
You're trying to whitewash your Arby's history right now, and I'm not going to let you.
Okay.
You've been heinous to Arby's and the people who are employed by Mr. Arby.
I've never said anything bad about Arby's employees. I think they're real solid folks who do a great job working at that restaurant. And I frequent Arby's. I'm a frequent customer there. Really into the jalapeno hash browns. Or sorry,
Justin, just blink twice if there's an Arby's person holding a gun to you right now.
Hush, puppies. Okay, I work at Arby's. Part of my job is to visit guests in the lobby and make sure everything is to their satisfaction. You apparently,
what?
This is apparently a pilot program. I'm assuming that experience has never happened to me.
Oh, la dee da.
Welcome to Arbondo's. Cafe Arbondo.
Often there are a lot of occupied tables near each other, and it can get a little repetitive and awkward to say, "Hey, how's it going?" over and over to every guest. Do you have any tips on how to change it up and be less awkwardly repetitive with my customers? That's from Muddled in Management. If I was doing this, my first thing that I would say is, "Hey, you're eating inside an Arby's. Are you okay? Is everything good?
How are you doing? No, like, but really. How are you doing?
How are you doing?
Hey, it's going to get better than this.
Certainly.
Are you cool?
Statistically speaking, it's going to get better than this.
I don't understand why you have to go from table to table, person to person, asking each and every person the same thing when you could just yell to the room, "How's everyone doing?" And they all respond in unison, "Pretty bad."
By a round of applause, how greasy are your fingers?
Who here is a sloppy beef boy? All of you.
I want to be clear. I'm not saying anything negative about people who would eat Arby's food. I am among those people. I'm questioning the people who look at Arby's and think, "I gotta get in there."
I hope there's an available table. I hope there's no wait.
Table at Arby's.
Babe, did you make a reservation?
At Arbondo's? Cafe Arbondo's?
Do you guys actually remember the last time that you ate physically inside a fast food restaurant? Do you remember the last time you actually sat down and did that? Has it been in your, like, adult life?
I mean, on a road trip, probably.
No. Like, stop at the McDonald's, though, and eat inside the McDonald's?
I mean, sometimes it's dope. Sometimes they got Wi-Fi. Sometimes sometimes a man comes to you and says, "Griffin, I just want to check in. Make sure you're doing okay. Have you experienced our free Wi-Fi?"
I
say, "Yes, I have." And he's like, "Here, have a pumpkin pie." I'm like, "What the fuck? It's April."
That I've actually had that experience having to wheeze the Wi-Fi off of my local Fazoli's, which is amazing because they'll keep bringing those breadsticks. They change shifts pretty frequently because they don't know how long you've been there.
Because people keep biting their fingers as they hold out breadsticks to them. Excuse me, sir, would you like a free... oh, God, you got the tip of my thumb. Oh, God. Turnover rate at Fazoli's is enormous, and the turnover rate on Fazoli's employees' hands is even
bigger. My local Fazoli's has a new policy where they don't have someone going around with a breadstick basket. You have to go to the You have to go to the counter, hands empty, pockets outturned, and just say, "Hi, I'm a breadstick boy, and I,
What's this, please?
Me hungry, I guess."
I'm sorry. I don't mean to bother you. You're clearly working very hard behind the counter. I just wanted to say, me hungry.
Peas.
Me hungry. I think that the opportunity that question asker has here is great, because I think this is the kind of scenario where, like, customers enjoy a little bit of levity. Like, they realize the situation's kind of weird to have the management of Arby's be like, "How?" So you get to come up with, like, different phrases. And the one that popped in my head is, "How are you enjoying your sandwich journey?"
That's a mouthful, though.
I see you're on a beef path. I see you got, I see you got a extra large Diet Dr. Pepper. He's my favorite companion on the beef path, too.
You got yourself a little beef Sherpa, I see.
Can I offer you any words of encouragement or experience, guidance, perhaps, on your beef journey?
Oh, man, just a few bites left. You're almost through this, and then you won't have to be in an Arby's anymore.
I believe you're gonna go home, see your wife and kids, really think about the choices you've made with your life. Maybe tomorrow's a new day.
You're almost push.
Maybe this is the turning point. You can do this.
I see you're eating our meat stack, which is a real thing. What is it called? Tower of Meat? They have a thing that's like the
paying my rent every day at the Tower of Meat.
I think it's a I think they call it a ham column.
I have worked a lot of different places, and take it from me, I've tried it both ways. You will be immeasurably happier at any job you do if you decide, once you walk in those doors, that you are completely sold out and 100% a huge booster of whatever business you work at. Nothing. Agreed. Nothing puts people one at ease more, and two, sort of like, is fascinating than a person who's like deep into it. What I'm saying to you is, go get to Wikipedia, read up on some Arby's history.
Are you enjoying that sandwich? Do you know, on this day in 1972,
that's when Jebediah Arby's in 1874 founded the first Arby's in a dirty, unused garbage pit. He created that sandwich.
Originally, it was buffalo beef. Not a lot of people know that. Roast buffalo. Okay, enjoy your sandwich.
I love that. I think it's a much more fun way to go through your workday if you, like, decide that you love the place that you work at. Like, a lot of people in jobs that they don't consider to be, like, their full-time career, like, for their life, will kind of have a sort of antagonistic relationship with the places they work. I'm saying, if you make the decision that you love the place you work at, it really does immeasurably improve your workday. When I worked at Best Buy, I was sold out. Store 573 on top. That was me. I was pushing the Best Buy brand in a major way.
So early 20s, Justin's philosophy was, don't chase your dreams. Just make your dreams come to you.
It's a very Buddhist way of looking at minimum wage employment, Griffin. I am here at Best Buy today, and today I will love being at Best Buy.
And how long did that
situation?
And have you ever told the story of when that fire died? That fire inside you for the Best Buy brand.
Let's see.
Because nothing gold can fucking stay, Pony Boy. Every one of these relationships with a big business you've ever been in ended with we'll say turmoil.
At Blockbuster, I was fired for stealing a copy of Fight Club, which seemed like a very Tyler Durden thing to do.
Even though you stole,
they said
many,
that
many,
in the exit interview.
Yeah.
You stole many other VHS cassettes, which I will not announce on the show for fear of embarrassing you, showgirls.
I had my friend Tommy Red tape Showgirls off of HBO because we were on vacation when it ran.
You just stole a Blockbuster video box and label for it to make it look official.
Well, I needed the extended version later, but anyway.
For sure.
Best Buy, I was not moving at a pace that was acceptable to the managers around the show floor when they wanted me to go around and hand out.
The cracks were beginning to show.
The cracks were beginning to show. And they said, when you're on that show floor, you need to move like your ass is on fire. And I said, okay, and I moved like my ass is on fire right out the door. No notice at Best Buy, just kind of left.
It's harder if you prolong it. It's when it's real love. If you prolong the split, it just
they didn't know what they had in a young Justin McElroy. They didn't know that I would someday go on to invent podcasting. They didn't know.
Yeah,
that.
Sure.
God love them.
You guys want a Yahoo?
Yep. Yes.
This Yahoo was sent in by Zoe Kinski. Thank you, Zoe. It's by Yahoo Answers user. It's not loading. Let me refresh. It's still not loading.
Make
pretty
a name.
Cool website.
Doesn't matter.
Germs.
Germs
asks, butt emergency. Anyone who knows how to make a butt look hot, answer this. Serious answers only. My senior year
you're
starts
to go out and paint the deck. Get a fresh coat of paint on both starboard and port sides.
My senior year starts in less than a week, and since I haven't worked out for a while, my butt is starting to look flat. Does anyone know any butt lifting and firming exercises or anything around those lines? For 1 week, power blast it.
I was just going to say maybe some kind of alternative means, like a duct tape or perhaps some sort of super glue.
Maybe. And how would that? You can't just say shit, Travis. That's my new motto for this show, by the way. You can't just say shit, and almost always specifically Travis.
You got to start the tape at the bottom of the butt cheek, right? And then kind of lift and then pull the end of the tape to your shoulder. And it's kind of like suspenders for your butt, right? But and that lifts it up a little bit. Or you just wrap each butt cheek in some tape to kind of fill it out a little bit. Now, it's going to be uncomfortable, but we all know that beauty is pain. Am I right, everyone? But
nothing tastes as good as butt suspenders feel. Wait, what?
Now, does it lift and separate?
Butt suspenders one is sweeter than butt suspenders earned.
Now, Trash, does it lift and separate the butt? Because that seems to be a big thing for fashion.
Well, it depends on which way you want to go, Justin, because you could always do a cross your back kind of scenario, right?
Or hot cross buns. Hot cross buns.
Or you could do it where it pulls the butt together, making it into one giant cheek, which isn't popular now, but I think that if you pay attention in 2016, we're going to see a big move towards just one big butt cheek.
Is it just one party that this person's going to? Is that what's going on?
It's their senior year of high school. Thanks for paying attention.
The whole senior year? Is just a graduation? Or
Their senior year starts in less than a week.
See, I was going to say, if it's a prom-like event, what you can do is buy a new butt and just leave the tags on it. And then once you're done with it, you just return it.
But you got to be careful, because if you spill anything on that butt, they won't take it back. Trust me.
I'm looking for a more organic... healthy option, like I always am,
sure.
For permanent butt perfection. So like an exercise, something to really confuse and explode my glutes.
You know in Ace Ventura?
Yeah,
you know
yeah.
That scene in Ace Ventura where he makes his butt talk? I bet that would be a pretty good workout.
But you're going to have to be a lot more forceful than Mr. Carey was.
And the thing is, you're going to have to go on for a long time. You're going to have to do like a stage reading of Dune, like the entire Dune series with your butt. You can't just like, you're like, let me ask you a question. That's not going to do it. You got to start like from the beginning.
Now, yeah, Justin, does it have to be a staged reading? Does the size of the crowd affect the results?
Well, it's going to help keep you. It's going to help give you the motivation not to give up.
And now, a rare concert performance of Justin using his butt to read all of Dune. I will
not
kill
a drop
him.
Of rain ever falls on a rackass.
But let me tell you, when I read the Liturgy of Fear, there's not a dry eye in the house
sure.
with my butt.
Oh.
My girlfriend and I are embroiled in an apartment hunt. We found several that suit our needs, but just a couple hundo out of our price range. She proposes we begin negging the leasing agents in an effort to make them want to lease to us. And this sounds like an interesting prospect to me. The question to you is... how would we go about this? Do we insult the apartment or the agent themselves? What is is peacocking recommended? Thanks. That's from Randy for Rentals in Richmond.
Oh, man. We need to shut this down.
Okay, a couple things to unpack here.
First off, you know what? If you want negging, I have something for you. It's called, like, the world most of the time. Like, don't neg people. We're all humans. We're all trying to get through this thing together. I don't think there's a context in which I would ever neg a human being about their own situation. That is wholly ineffective and cruel and unethical.
And terrible.
R.E. peacocking. You can do that, but don't have an agenda. Just do it for you. I peacock for me all the time. By which I mean I actually
24/7.
I put rainbow feathers.
Yeah.
In my boat. If you're going apartment, just walk around like that.
If you're going apartment hunting, bring the peacock along. Hey, where can my peacock stay in here? Is this a peacock friendly apartment?
I doubled down, and my fursona is that of a peacock.
Yeah.
So I'm getting it left and right.
Yeah.
Please don't tell my wife.
My fursona is that of a peacock, and I own a peacock. So I'm both Justin, a human sized peacock and a regular peacock. Yes.
J-Town, let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
You have bought two homes now, right?
Yeah.
And two peacocks. One per home.
In movies and TV shows, they always show people like scheming to walk around and be like, oh, I don't know about this archway and I'm not really happy with the door, to try to get money knocked off. Is that a real thing that real people do in real life?
What? I mean, the thing is, when you're looking at houses, you're very rarely like looking at it with the person selling it. So like your agent.
That sucks. That's shitty. Boo to that. That sucks. You call that a bathroom?
When we bought our new home, we bought it for sale by owner. So the owner showed us around the place. So I did punch a hole right in the guest room wall. How much do you
look
want
at how flimsily this is made? And you broke your hand.
This window just breaks right away when I put my butt on it. I farted in every room of this house. How much of a discount are you willing to offer me?
I'm just wondering if there's a scenario where you'd walk around with the real estate person being like, ugh, what the fuck is this? Look at this floor. Oh, gross. This bathtub. And they'd be like, well, would you do $1,200 a month? Like, no, I think no, that
you just have
like,
a gross misunderstanding. You have a gross misunderstanding of how that process works.
Yeah, none of that is going to be
effective. None of that's accurate.
Also, like, in renting, I've rented, I don't know, 12 apartments in my lifetime. A lot of apartments. I don't know that I've ever been in a scenario where I was able to haggle a price. I think they say, like, this apartment is $1,200 a month. And it's just like, okay.
Travis, let me ask you a question. Do you ask? Have you asked?
Have I ever asked if it could be cheaper?
Yes.
You know, Justin, I haven't.
There you go.
The invitation was never there. They never said, like, now what we're asking for is $1,200 a month. What do you think?
They specifically say, Travis, you will pay me $1,200. I will take that money, and it will be mine after that.
Yeah.
I
like the straightforwardness of this arrangement.
When I was living in Chicago, I shortchanged our landlord by $100 every month for 6 months without realizing it. Didn't say shit. That's what I call a power move.
They didn't say shit either?
No, I don't think they realized. It was like the first time they'd rented it out, and I don't think they, I don't know, maybe they couldn't count that high. I don't know. They were really sweet landlords. I liked them a lot, but I stole $600 from them. Thank you. It's expensive in Chicago. I needed it.
Could you pretend to be a ghost expert?
Oh, yeah.
In which I'm saying you show up your whole persona, and maybe your fursona, maybe you're a fox witch. I don't know. Your whole persona is that of like a wizened magic user, somebody who really understands the ethereal plane.
A magi.
A magi, if you will. And you show up and you say, this home is pulsing with spectral energy, and you're not going to get a dollar over 700 for it. Trust me on this one.
But
I will make it my life's goal. I'll go on Yelp and tell everybody this is a very, very
I will Yelp review an individual house.
I'll make you a deal.
I want to write a review for 1019 Washington Boulevard real quick. I walk in that house, and I am a magus, and let me tell you, it is pulsing with spectral energy. 2 out of 5 would not live there.
But if you do go, make sure to try the Parmesan bread bites. They're delicious.
The previous owner had them in the refrigerator. I don't know if they were for guests, but I did take them, and I enjoyed them.
I don't know if he's going to keep putting those in there, or what's the situation. I say you do one better, and you say, I'm not going to pay a goddamn cent to live here, but I will be the ghost super for the whole building.
Oh, like you'll help them move on, or you'll protect the rest of the building from ghosts?
I think it means that, like, if there's a ghost-related plumbing issue, Ghost gets stuck in the pipes, and God damn it, that's half a clogs that you deal with. Plumbers aren't ready for that shit, because you didn't just knock a stick of deodorant in there.
No, they're just taking care of booze and shy guys and stuff.
That's actually how rental prices in San Francisco got so bad, is because they started letting a bunch of spectral supers live there, and then they got to make that up somewhere. And you, as a non-magic user, are the one paying the price for that.
It's government subsidizing.
Subsidized spectral supers.
So at the end of the day, take some night classes, like become a magus, be able to like take care of it yourself, and then you can get those discounts. I think Matthew Lesko sells a class on it. If you want to, like, I think it's something like you could make $10,000 a year just by being a ghost super, something along those lines.
Something
check it
like
out.
That.
Open your eyes
and your heart to ghosts.
Man, it's been a while since we talked about ghosts. It's like putting on a comfortable pair of jeans from college.
You talked about packing your bags and move away. It's a real classic episode. A lot of hits.
Yeah.
A lot of the hits. Thank you for listening to our comedy podcast, My Brother and Me. If you'd like to see us live, you can do just that if you live anywhere near Seattle or Vancouver. We're coming there in late August. I believe the 29th and 30th, respectively, to those two cities. We are also going to Portland, but tickets to that have sold out. If you're in Portland and you didn't get tickets to that show, come up to see us in Seattle. It's not that far of a drive. I have to drive that far, literally every time I want to see a concert of anybody I enjoy. So go for it. bit.ly/MBMBAM Seattle is the address for the, as you may have guessed, the Seattle show. bit.ly/VanMBMBAM is the Vancouver show. Those are both assigned seating, okay? So don't sleep on that. Go get tickets. There are still some good seats in Vancouver, but you're going to want to act fast because they are going quickly.
I want to thank John Roderick and the Long Winters for the use of our theme song, It's a Departure, off the album Putting the Days to Bed. You can find that album on iTunes or Amazon, wherever it is you buy music. I just want to wish great luck to John Roderick for his Seattle City Council campaign. I hear it's going very well. I'm seeing some promising things on the AP wire.
And this isn't like a bullshit. He's not doing
this.
No,
it's not
a publicity stunt.
It's a real campaign. He's got some good ideas. I'm very excited for him.
We also want to add, if you enjoyed this episode and past episodes, why not hop on over to iTunes? Maybe subscribe, rate, review, that kind of thing. It'll take you about 3 minutes. And it really helps us in like the iTunes rankings and everything like that, and bumps this on up the charts, which we always really appreciate, and it makes us feel good. We appreciate your positive feedback.
There's a ton of other podcasts on Maximum Fun as well. If you haven't listened to them, it's all free and it's all terrific programming. We all have other shows. The three of us play D&D with our dad in a show called The Adventure Zone. Justin has a medical history show with his wife Sydney called Sawbones. Travis has a show with his buddy Andy about the apocalypse called Bunker Buddies. And then there's other great shows like Jordan Jesse Go and Stop Podcasting Yourself and Throwing Shade and Lady to Lady and Rendered and so many other terrific programs. It's all at MaximumFun.org.
We're actually 39 reviews away from 3,000 on iTunes. Let's do that this week, guys. Let's get there.
That'd be great.
That'd be pretty tight.
We also want to say thanks again to NatureBox, where you can order hundreds of great-tasting, healthy snacks. Go to naturebox.com/mybrother. Sign up for your free sampler box of great-tasting, healthy snacks. At this point, there's probably only 10 of our listeners that haven't already done it. So you 10, if you're one of those 10, just go do it now. We want to get 100% of you on board.
Are we done?
We're done.
This final Yahoo was sent in by level 900. Yeah, Drew Davenport. Thank you, Drew. It's by Yahoo Answers user Alexander, who asks, is Santa Monica Studios gonna make Kratos kill Jesus? I don't want Jesus to die in the future God of War games. You Christians agree?
I'm just McElroy. I'm Travis McElroy.
I'm Griffin McElroy.
This has been my brother, and me. Kiss your dad square on the lips.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Listener supported. I'm Jesse Thorne.
I'm Jordan Morris.
The federal government has millions of dollars in programs and opportunities that you need to seize today.
You're a taxpayer, right? Well, then you've got it coming.
Thanks to Uncle Sam, you can get grant programs for veterans.
Postage stamps that'll ensure your mail gets there in a timely fashion.
Fruit for you and your family.
Child care for your children that turns them into super soldiers.
Get $1 million to open your own lake.
Useful power tools that are easy on your soft, delicate hands.
Your own personal radioactive brick.
More sexual attention from everyone at the used bookstore.
Greyhound tickets.
Soft, gentle kisses from TV's John Goodman.
A real narwhal.
Athletic socks filled with stew.
A valuable pamphlet on millet.
Your father's approval.
Don't wait. Right now.
For all of this and more, drop us a line.
Jordan Jesse Go, 123 iTunes Street, or wherever you download podcasts.